Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start here on Straight Outta Vegas with the return of the great HBO series Hard Knocks, which debuts later on tonight. And of course, it is of none other than the soon-to-be Las Vegas, but currently Oakland Raiders.
Wow, this city is so excited about this Raiders team. I was on another show, and I said, close your eyes and think of 10 years ago. Think about... let me do the math here. 2009. And imagine if we said, okay, the NFL is going to come around on gambling. In fact, the Oakland Raiders are going to be in Vegas, in the Vegas Raiders. What brand in the NFL would even come in second as like, oh, you know who should be in Vegas? The Raiders, right? Like, who's even second on that list? You know, the Pirates, the Outlaws, you know, the pirate flag kind of thing, the winter wind. I got to be honest, there's no winter wind, but it fits. It fits. And I'm excited. And we've been talking about it for about a year. I mean, we're coming up on the first anniversary of Straight Outta Vegas. It'll be in September. And Brad, let's give credit where credit's due, because you're a tough cookie, but when you're honest, when all the talk was about Gruden, all the talk was about this draft was bad and they shouldn't have done this and that, and they're sending home their scouts and all that. What was it that I was leading with? What did we think the focus was?
Well, your thing, hey, Oakland's playing a different game. The reality of hiring a guy like John Gruden was, let's just get the Raiders to Vegas in a couple years. And who would you rather have for those couple years of smoothing things over in Oakland than John Gruden? So you were obviously right on the mark there.
It feels like it, because what is the game you are playing is the first question you've got to ask yourself. And it sounds kind of cliche. Not even cliche, but trite. It sounds like, oh, that's a fortune cookie philosophy. No, it's probably the most important thing that Vegas has taught me. So, Fez, there's certain cliches like video poker bad, which you would say for most people, don't try this at home. Absolutely correct. Video poker bad if you want to make money. But if there's certain kind of payoffs on two pairs and progressive jackpot is above X, all of a sudden now, it's a great bet. It's an earning bet, correct?
Correct, especially if they're giving away a car and you're getting extra drawing tickets for playing that 100.3% game.
Exactly. Yeah. So here's the key. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Here's the key. Video poker bad, pretty simple, probably right 99% of the time. But if you know the rules, you know the game, all of a sudden it can be the opposite. It can be good. It can be profitable. So I was listening to Colin today, Colin Cowherd, my favorite radio guy in the business, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas and him, personal issues. We don't judge.
Good God.
But the fact of the matter is that Colin said something about Gruden that he meant as a negative, when I think it's a positive. He said, hey, let's be candid. Gruden's great for business, but I'm not so sure he's great winning. Now, first off, I tend to agree with him. I'm not so sure. So I agree with Colin. If winning is the ultimate goal, I'm not so sure that Gruden was the right hire. Who in the heck is childish enough to think that's the ultimate goal? Because you know something, In the NBA, you could pay the repeater tax. I mean, there really is no hard cap in the NBA. How many teams have paid the repeater tax? So this is just basic. Hey, if you go over the cap 1 year, it's here's a fee. If it's another year, it's a worse fee. And then it gets to be draconian where you can't, if you get into this repeater hell or whatever, you're paying hundreds of millions of dollars in penalties. Who has ever done it? Right? Not in any kind of a, you know, nine-figure way. It's never been done. Teams have gone over the cap. Teams have done it a second year. But there's a point where they just won't do it. So if winning was the only thing, no one would even think about it. Right? This is a business. It's economics. Now, the intersection of sports and business is one of the great challenges of covering sports. You know, because the reality is that there's business elements to it, and there is the joy of fandom, fanatic, of back to boyhood. You know, I'm a pretty bottom line guy when it comes to sports betting, right? I can appreciate having fun with it, but for me, the fun part's getting the best of it, right? But I've never won a bet more exciting for me ever than when the Steelers won the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 40. It had been 26 years in between, 25, 26 years in between when they won Super Bowl 14 and then they won Super Bowl 40. Now, I was 10 years old when they won their fourth Super Bowl. And I'm talking about being spoiled. When you win four between the ages of 5 and 10, that's the normal, right? And then it's 25 years plus. I woke up in a Hollywood, this is true, not Tarantino style, but a Hollywood. It was actually the Beverly Hilton. You've probably had a night there or two, right, Jonas?
Well, who hasn't? Especially yeah, after a Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
So I woke up next to the commode. Don't remember how I got there. Leather jacket, no shirt. That's all I'm going to say. Never won a bet that got me that excited. All right. So, yes, there's the fandom part. There's the boyhood, the youth. And then there's the monetization of that. Really, the business of sports is monetizing the feeling that led me to wake up in a Los Angeles hotel room next to the toilet with a leather jacket and no shirt. That's what they're trying to monetize. And back to the Raiders, by far the least financially solvent, the poorest family of any of the 32 owners, right? That's not even a debate, is it?
Yep.
Yep, it's not a debate.
It's not a debate. And that's until they come to Vegas.
Exactly. So what was the question? The bridge. How do we get from here to there? Because when we're in Vegas, we're going to be fine. The Davises are thinking. How do we bridge it? Well, we pay a star 10 sticks a year to distract. Not on purpose. He's doing his thing. That's his act. So Colin says it might not help win games. I got to tell you, Raiders won 10 games a couple years ago, and they were a mighty lucky team that year, Fez. They won double digits.
They won 12.
Exactly.
They should have only won 9.
But the fact was, how much of a story was that? Gruden literally changing the type of ball cap he wears would get more attention in the offseason than the difference between winning 12 games and 9 games in 1 year. Now, if you just lose and lose and lose, it's a different story. If you win and win and win, it's a different story. But think about it. Carolina came one game from the ultimate success. Does anyone look back at Cam's career and think it's redeemed by that? If anything, that's the exception that proves the rule to a lot of haters of Cam. Oh, look, when he really got it together, look how good he was. But now look at these other seasons. Right? Rex Grossman was one game from winning it. Right? Now, listen, if you win it, it's a different story. But Houston Texans making the playoffs or not, and having TJ Yates or whatever limp around to a loss in the playoffs, what does it mean? Not much. versus millions of dollars versus movie stars versus TV stars. So to me, the Raiders made a brilliant move. The game was keep the game playing until the rules adjust in our favor, a la we're in Vegas, and anything it takes to get there doesn't matter. The incremental difference we're paying for Gruden versus an average coach, and let's say Gruden's average, so we're overpaying by that amount, it's a rounding error when it comes to the billions of dollars that a franchise, I mean, what are the Raiders going to be worth in 10 years?
Triple what they were last year.
How did you get that number?
I don't know, because the estimations were it was going to be double within just the move from Oakland to Vegas.
So it's double thought, from what to what?
Like $600 million to $1.2 billion is what the estimates that I've...
Wow. The idea you could...
As far as Mark Davis's wealth.
Okay. Yeah. So, but either way, the $5 million or whatever that Gruden might be overpaid by some metrics is a rounding error.
They just got $20 million just getting a Legionnaire to like name the stadium.
Is that what it is per year?
I think it's a one-time deal.
That doesn't make any sense. We'll have to look into that. Yeah. You might want to like look into things before you just say them. Fez gets excited. If he doesn't talk, if he goes like 4 minutes without talking, he's just going to interject something regardless. But we'll check on that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Okay. So what we know is this. Attention leads to interest and popularity. And with popularity comes betting support, which means they get expensive. So, for example, if you would have had the women's soccer team before become, if it was a blind resume, yeah, USA probably would have been the favorite still, but they wouldn't have been near the favorite they were with the stars and stripes on their uniform. America, because one, it's a big betting market, and two, it's a gigantic brand, right? So the Raiders, if it were the 70s, we could say, yeah, big brand. But Raiders and money, Raiders and winning hasn't gone together for quite a while. So the Raiders, I'm not going to be anxious to bet them in the preseason. But then you think about, well, wait a minute. I just spent an hour this week with the Raiders. And by the way, they spent about 160 hours of tape or whatever, cut down to that 48 minutes, and it's interesting. Man, you see when Gruden did this and that? And, you know, I've been involved in a few sizzle reels, they call them, where, you know, they were thinking of reality shows. Listen, reality ain't real, I promise. And this is just from a limited perspective. And the fact of the matter is, that the drama they're going to be able to generate from a naturally dramatic person like Gruden, like the Raiders, it's going to be very compelling. It's leading our show and led Colin's show today. And in fact, it was a rare thing where Colin mentioned it in his intro. The Hard Knocks was tonight. Then he talked Zeke. Then he went. So it was. He was so excited about it. He's talking about in the intro, which he usually goes right into his topic one. So it's that big of a story. What does it mean? It means people are going to be more inclined to bet the Raiders in the preseason. The Raiders are going to get expensive. So on one hand, and Fez, we'll talk about week one's line in a minute, is on, so all of a sudden now the interest in the Raiders goes up. That's popularity. Popularity means they're going to be bet. The Raiders are bet. They get expensive. So on one hand, my instinct's going to be we want to fade the Raiders. Okay. By the way, what is the line this week?
Oakland is now laying 5.5 against the Rams. That line has moved up 2.5 points.
Already. Okay. And that game's end?
That game is home Oakland.
Oakland. Okay. So we got a team. Now, last season, if I remember correctly, there was something like 98% of the preseason games was within a point or two of the home team being favored by 3. It's almost like never that it varies from that.
Well, especially week one, yeah. Home team laying 2.5 to 3.
And the line is?
Raiders laying 5.5.
That's going to be interesting. Let's scribble that down, Brad. Is when? How many times in week one of the NFL season has there been a home favorite this big in the last 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6 years? I'm guessing it's once, twice.
And certainly the biggest favorite this week.
So who's the second biggest favorite? somewhere like in the
Baltimore laying 4.5. The Harbaughs, they love to win.
But and what's the Baltimore stat on how Harbaugh and Baltimore's done in the preseason?
13 straight wins for Baltimore.
All right, so let's get this straight now. 13 straight. They're so good they can go through that unlucky 13 with no problem getting to it. 13 straight covers.
Yes.
And they're laying 4.5.
Correct.
And the Raiders are laying 5.5.
Yes.
Okay. Hard knocks, right? Number two is, if that was all there was to it, I'd be looking to fade the Raiders. But now there's a second part. Distraction leads to underperformance. So on one hand, they've gotten expensive, plus they're compromised. Now, we went around in pre-production and said, what percentage distraction would Hard Knocks be? The low number was 15%. So Forrest Gump, Fez said 15%. Everyone else was much higher, but we're going to go with Fezzik's low number. So now, literally, about a seventh or so of your output is being spent on distracted by Hard Knocks. So you've got an expensive team because of popularity that due to that popularity is compromised. Now you might say, RJ, listen, you're making a hell of a point. It's compelling. I'm like, give me the 800 number. But what's the data? Well, Brad, we got the data.
We do. Hard Knocks teams last 11 years in the preseason.
So this is the 11 years since the show's come back.
Since the show came back. There was a couple years in the early part.
But since the show came back.
Since the show's come back. 11 years. Teams in the preseason on Hard Knocks, 17-27 against the spread. That's less than 40%, RJ.
So guys, doesn't mean this game's going to win fading the Raiders. It doesn't mean the Raiders won't go 4-0 against the spread. But if someone wanted to bet me blind against the Raiders or on the Raiders right now for the whole four preseason games, I would bet the fade. I would say no, and I'd be pretty happy to do it at no vig or even with a little vig. So the fact, not soliciting, but the fact of the matter is I think fading the Raiders fits a macro handicapping framework, which is attention means popularity means expense. And in this case, distraction means underperformance. You got both of them here. You got history. We'll see by this week if we're going to be fading the Raiders as one of our best bets.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I think there's an interesting part to this story that we haven't discussed yet, which is the idea of what the Cowboys are saying. Colin's done a great job of talking about the PR battle, because really leverage here is public pressure against Zeke or against the Cowboys. The fans, in a way, Jonas, are going to be deciding when the holdout ends, when the contract is signed, who makes what concession. That's going to be the fans' decision. And the Cowboys, the Joneses, each generation have done a great job in their messaging. They've got professional $800 an hour type PR people. That's obvious, okay? Zeke doesn't. That's obvious. But what Dallas did say was, we want to make Zeke a top five paid player at his position. Here's the question. Are we paying retroactively? No. We're paying for the years moving forward. And oh, by the way, we're paying for your non-contract years because we've already got you for those. And effectively they do, meaning he plays for the Cowboys or he doesn't play, if that's what Dallas wants. And the fact of the matter is Le'Veon Bell played that game of chicken and I think he won it. I think in a way Le'Veon's a cautionary tale. It's almost like, well, the opposite. I think he's emboldening players in a way that might not be healthy because of the Jets. I just wonder what Le'Veon would have been paid if it weren't for the Jets. What was the second offer to him? Because it feels like the one might, it only takes one, but it feels like the one might have skewed things in the direction where Le'Veon won. If you add it up, I make the case Le'Veon won. So it kind of empowers people to do more of that. But here's the question. After this season, after next season, which is also called when this new contract would begin in theory, do we expect over X number of years for Zeke to be one of the top five running backs in the NFL?
I don't.
I don't even think it's possible. I mean, let's just say he's a big underdog to be.
Yes.
So really, if I'm Zeke and they're offering me top five pay at my position for not this year, not next year, but for the years after that, when I'm like 27 as a running back, I'm taking it. Now, here's the one wild card. And you hear it in the Dak discussions. By the way, top five for Dak. Whew, talk about UFA. Here's what I would say. I think because the amount of the player share of the or the cap effectively has gone up in such a surprising way because of these revenues that weren't expected. And Dak's on record saying, hey, there's gambling now, so there will be even more revenue. It's almost like the teams aren't supposed to be responsible to be cap reasonable now, because one day in the near future, the cap's going to be much higher.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.